and Development Authority Board of Governors meeting to order. We have before us our agenda for October 7th. Introduction of guests. I understand that we have one that's joining us, and that's Rick Meeker. Rick, thank you for joining us. We're also going to use this time to recognize our retiring board members, of which we understand that Kim Williams and Paul Dean. We want to thank them for their service in their absence, and that they have already received their plaque, and I'm sure displaying it prominently in their offices. Well, at the same time, we want to introduce our new members, too. So we have Kevin Graham, FSU, and then Sanjoy Goswami. There with Danfoss. So thank you both for joining us. We look forward to your contributions. It's going to be amazing.
Thank you.
We'll probably just, everybody know? Everybody, we're good to go on that? Okay. We'll continue moving down the agenda. Modifications to the agenda. We have both the consent and then our action items. Are there any modifications at this time?
Yeah, just two. One is the acceptance of the board attendance report as required to be reported by bylaws. Mm-hmm. That was not included on the agenda. And the second is recognition of Dom DiMartino for his efforts related to the renovation of this building and assembly furniture.
Mr. Martino, I understand that not only did you put together all these tables, but you did 40 chairs and everything else that we see. So thank you so much for your contributions.
Thank you.
Yeah. Good help, right there.
Madam Chair, I'd like to ask that at our next meeting, since it'll be the year-end financial statement that we have presented to us outside of the consent agenda, a balance sheet and an income statement for the year. Same with the investment report, an annual report on the investments.
Absolutely.
Both of those to be outside the consent agenda.
Absolutely. We will most certainly do that. Are there any other modifications?
No.
Okay. Again, we have before you the consent agenda. Trust that you've all had an opportunity to review that. If you have, then I'd ask that you move forward with a motion.
So moved.
Okay, it's been properly motioned and seconded. The approval of the consent agenda. All those in favor, please acknowledge with the sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. We'll move forward to... I see.
I have Kristen on my phone at the moment. I'm trying to get her on the speakerphone, but keep going.
Okay, actually, I need to back up, and I need to get to the public comments, and I understand that Rick Meeker. Rick, you have asked, and we are definitely honoring your request to speak to the group, and we have that set for a full 3 minutes. So, we will welcome you to either you can from your seat or...
Okay. Let's stand here so folks don't have to turn around.
Sure thing.
Thank you for giving me some time to come over and talk. I'll try real hard to bring this stuff. I would like to just quickly, because we've not, a lot of folks here I don't know, some I do, but just quickly tell you a little bit about us and what we're doing, because it really is the context for the agenda item, which has specifically to do with office space. So again, thank you. So for those who don't know, New Energy is a startup tech venture here in Innovation Park. We're in the energy area, and power and energy, I just want to put it in perspective, is electric power is a $470 billion industry in the U.S. That's four times biotech and almost twice aerospace. So the field we're operating in is really huge and important, and it just happens that there's some very important resources here in the park that we're exploiting the synergies. In fact, we're trying to grow a new kind of technology development and delivery enterprise to enable a future of more flexible, connected, and intelligent systems for energy, defense, and manufacturing. Our mission is to accelerate the transition of the most promising technologies from research and development in power and energy and controls to deployment at a time when they're needed most. So there's a big transformation going on in energy. An explosion of new types of resources is beginning soon. And that's the area we're operating in. We do that through state-of-the-art de-risking that actually was pioneered right here in Innovation Park. So I'm Rick Meeker. I'm the president and founder of New Energy. I established it here in the park in 2015 as a spinoff of the Center for Advanced Power Systems. So we are a, you know, true FSU tech venture spinoff. In that several years that we've been here in the park, so we've been in the park the whole time. We established a presence here with the cooperation of in the space that is available in OCRDA and the Knight Building. And we've been here ever since. In those three, almost 4 years now, the first year was part-time because I had to work another consulting company. I had to get us up and running. But in the last 3 years or so, we've managed to secure nearly $3 million in non-dilutive support, mostly in the form of federal funding and in-kind support from industry, plus have poured in our own investment and redirected our own indirect into research and development to produce several proprietary technologies and one joint patent with FSU. And we plan to continue that because our mission is to commercialize, to rapidly transition technologies in the energy space. So we expect to continue to do. We've had a STTR with FSU. We've had other joint projects. Does anyone know what the biggest, so I mentioned new types of energy resources, what the biggest solar and storage initiative in Florida is right now, aside from individual initiatives and utilities like FPNL?
Will probably have to tell us.
So it's on the card. The card that's not my business card is called FASTER. So okay. One of the things we were able to do early out the gate was get an award from the Department of Energy's State Energy Strategies Program to lead the Florida Alliance for Accelerating Solar and Storage Technology Readiness, which was a collaboration we created for the purposes of helping to move Florida ahead in this area of power and energy. The partners are all of the municipal electric utilities in the state. There's 33 of them right now. The six largest ones are our core team. We meet every single week. We work closely with the city of Tallahassee Electric Utility, Orlando, Jacksonville, Lakeland, Gainesville, Florida Municipal Power Agency, the Florida Municipal Electric Association, that's the trade association for all those. Our subcontractors also include two Department of Energy National Labs, NREL, Lawrence Berkeley, the State of Florida Office of Energy, the Southern Alliance for Clean Energy. So it's a big project. It's a big initiative. It's led here out of Tallahassee, out of Innovation Park, by
Rick, I'd probably ask you to skate to telling us the purpose for your, for your presentation, and then we'll jump back in.
Okay, sure.
Probably got about 45 seconds.
Yeah, I don't want to take up your whole meeting.
Sure.
Thank you. So the point is, we're doing a lot, but it's no small feat, and what we're trying to do is very, very difficult. So I read, the mission of LCRDA is to work in affiliation with Florida State University, Florida A&M, Tallahassee Community College to promote scientific research, development activities, and foster economic development and broaden the economic base of Leon County. So I'm here for two things. One is to appeal to the board to familiarize yourself with what we're doing and to ask for support in what we're trying to do. And the specific thing we asked for that came up recently was the fact that we're going to have to move. So it's been quite effective being in the Knight Building. It's worked out well for us. We started out with one office and expanded to two and now three, and that has served us well for our team. We don't mind relocating and working with the board and things on where we need to be. That's all fine. It's just that we're doing an awful lot, and it just happens in the next 3 months our plate is really loaded because some of these grants are ending. We're applying for new ones. We just lost our office manager who is highly trained now in federal managing federal grants and projects. So that's the first thing is over the next 3 months our plate is really, really full. So that's what started the discussion with Roma. They were prepared to move over here to this nice space, but we're kind of like, well, any kind of move right now is really disruptive. So they were nice in working with us to let us stay over there a little longer. We like to explore options. I think Ron has put out several. One of the first that came to mind at the time was I threw one out for, well, looking ahead, we're trying to grow, and it would look good to the people we work with, all these industries and national labs and potential investors and all, to be able to build out a little bit more into a space where we can show an operations and control center lab that we've been building gradually and things like that. So that I could see some synergy in having a little bit more space, and I saw the fact that there actually is a lot of space in this building and the building next door.
Okay.
I realized that, you know. So basically, it's to work with us on some options that,
right,
that help us and don't harm the board or LCREA.
Okay, well, we certainly thank you for being a part and offering your comments. We appreciate it greatly. Board, I just share with you that we do have the action item that will be coming up directly after with New Energy Lease, and so we can talk more with staff about that. So thank you.
Thanks a lot.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So let's, before we transition to item 8, I'm going to back up and do my reverse because we have the approval of draft meeting minutes for August 1, 2019. Were there any notices of correction, or if not, then we would certainly entertain a motion taking the okay. So a second? Okay, so the minutes for August 1, it's been properly motioned and second the approval. All those in favor, please acknowledge the sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. Okay, now we're back on track, and that's back with New Energy Lease, and that's Ron.
Madam Chair, can I ask, Commissioner Dozier is on the line. Commissioner, can you hear us now?
Yes, Ron, I can hear you a little bit.
Commissioner, we hear you loud and clear. Yeah, you are filling the room in a good way. Yeah.
Commissioner Dozier had asked for the opportunity to speak to the board.
Sure.
She's traveling at the moment and wanted to take this time, at this time, if she could, to address the board on some issues that she's concerned about.
Okay.
She won't be able to stay on the call for the whole
okay,
time.
Sure, sure, absolutely.
Is it related to item number
yeah.
8?
No, it's not.
Okay.
Commissioner, Kristen, you recognize?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. Congratulations. I am sorry I'm not with you all today for our first meeting in our new office space. I did get a tour and your first meeting, so thank you for stepping up. I am having a little harder time hearing everyone else, but Kim, you're very clear, so if I miss anything, let me know. This does not have to take long. I just wanted to provide a brief update because we have an opportunity to apply for a legislative appropriation for an innovation center. This has come up very quickly, and through the work on the 850 Hemp Summit, which was a great success, attracted 270 people to the Turnbull Center last week. Michael joined me at a meeting last Tuesday with a business person out of Tampa and Christina Paredes, David Lawson, and Antonio at Domi. So Michael, I think, could provide a little more detail. He has the outline that I provided to the group from our meeting. But the basic idea here is that industrial hemp and CBD oil, but industrial is one of the main focus, could be a great economic driver for our region and create a lot of jobs. My new talking point is from the farm to the factory and beyond. We can drill into any of these details. For my part, it would be helpful to do this later, but there are jobs associated in agriculture, processing, manufacturing, and R&D. We are going to need to know what our hemp fiber is best used for and refine products from paper to polymers, plastics, other things. We have a private sector person and probably more, but one right now who would like to have a center where he can develop proprietary products, basically. And no center like this exists in the Southeast. To my knowledge, there's only two centers in the whole country. Oregon State started one just this summer, so this is relatively new. In conversation with Michael and others, this type of center could co-locate with our accelerator if we get that funded and moving forward. There's some shared equipment, but it would be a separate program. And the real critical piece right now is that Senator Mumford is very interested in having appropriation requests for next session, which is due by November 1st. And Madam Chair, I'm going to close it out here. This is the reason why I wanted to mentioned this to the board today. We are not committed to anything, but if there's no concerns, I think Michael with Christina and others, we would work on refining a legislative appropriation request to start an hemp R&D Innovation Center in Leon County at Innovation Park to support workforce in Leon and across the region.
Yes, that's a lot. That's amazing. I mean, that's certainly where it's the hottest topic these days. Michael, anything you'd want to add, and board members' thoughts, comments?
Just that the private individual that's proposing this idea is extremely knowledgeable in the space and came with a lot of statistics, background, and information that seems to really enforce the fact that it is not only growing, but it also has a large potential for the research and spin-out industries as a result. So I think it's a little more detailed than to just blurt it out, but I'm actually meeting, Kristen, I don't know if you know this, but I'm meeting next week with that particular person, and we're talking more about some of the research we can do.
And you're recognized.
Is the person a secret? Sounds like it is. Kristen, who is the private individual?
I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Can you tell
me? Yes, Kristen, she's asking, who's the private individual? Is that something that can be shared?
Sure. His name is Danny Broussard. He is a businessman from Tampa. I met him because he's actually been working on a 100,000 square foot processing facility in Mayo, although he is being recruited to other communities now as well. And I met him about 6 weeks ago, and we talked about the R&D component. He wants to support hemp cultivation from the farmers then, but also do the product development. He has future plans the next few years. His company name is Danica Farms, and his bio can be found at the 850 Hemp Summit website.
Other questions? Yes, Eric,
you're right. Kristen, do you know what the general magnitude of the potential ask would be and what it would be for him? Thinking in terms of dollar amounts, get some scale as to what you're thinking about.
I am not sure what that ask would be right now. In the outline that we worked through last week, and I just emailed to everyone, Christina suggested she could do the economic impact numbers for workforce creation. Doing an R&D center like this would help us create and recruit manufacturers, and that is really the hook here. This would be a regional appropriation request to support job creation, both for recovery, which is why it's critical to do it this year, hurricane recovery, and for the new industry. So we may have more flexibility. That's what my understanding. Some of you may know this better than I, for having a regional bill. But when I talked to the senator last week, he said, how much do you need to get us started? And that's really the question we have to answer in just the next couple weeks. Michael and Danny hit it off immediately. As Michael just said, they're talking about things on a scientific level that were well beyond the rest of us, but it was a great tag team. And I think we can refine the equipment needs, the building, working through design work pretty quickly, and we can communicate that to the board before the request goes in. But that's the best I can do right now with the amount. Mumford just has asked us to let him know how much we need to get it started.
So that would include some bricks and mortar as well as operation money?
The brick and mortar piece, equipment piece, would be the primary focus. If we can flesh out the programming, and I'll say something about that in a second. If this is co-located with our accelerator, we've got an interesting dynamic right now. The Senate or the legislator in the state would like to see the hemp industry get started very quickly. The EDA doesn't necessarily want to see hemp in an application, which is fine. We've already submitted our application there, but if we expand the scope of our current facility for the accelerator to add additional space for this kind of center. It can save a lot of costs in the long term, but also there's some programming, some shared programs. If we would all have to talk through this a lot, it would not be the accelerator program that we've talked about. It would be a separate program. So bricks and mortar in that expanded building would be a portion of it. Some equipment would be a portion of it. And the program cost, we would have to talk through more. But I think those first two are the critical pieces.
Ray, you're recognized.
Kristen, this is Ray By. Do you know if there are any other competitors for this?
Did you say any other investors, Ray?
Any
competitors.
Competitors, I'm sorry. There are other, there's lots of research happening with hemp in various different ways, from the CBD oil to I've heard reference to studies at Oak Ridge National Lab and other places, but the only two innovation centers that I have identified, one is at a private college, I think in Pennsylvania, I don't have the name with me right now, and the other, like I said, is Oregon State. So there is not one in the Southeast, there is, and hemp fiber in different places is going to look very different. I believe strongly someone in the state is going to do this, and we are a logical place to do it with how many different centers of excellence and departments we have at FAMU and FSU that could overlap with the type of product development, from high-performance materials to medical, pharmaceutical, all different types of things.
Thank you, recognized.
Kristen, do we know this individual's financial strength, his ability to attract investors? What's his depth? What do we know about that?
You were mentioning Danny and his strength to attract other investors?
Right, the financial capability.
Yeah. So thank you for circling back to that, Dave. I have started a conversation and reached out to a few other businesses that I know are looking at future R&D for hemp fiber. Most people are looking at CBD oil right now. So for Danny himself, he is an example of a private company that would want, they need this type of center to do their own research or to work with others in our area to do proprietary research for future product development. So he would not necessarily be bringing in other businesses, but he is an example of the type of business that will need a center like this.
I guess I'm kind of remembering back in the days of when ethanol was coming in. As a banker, we probably had 10 people show up at the door wanting to start an ethanol plant over here, and neither one of them had a dime, and they would put that ethanol plant anywhere that anybody would lend them the money. So I'm sort of just kind of saying, what is the probability that the financial side of his proposal is strong enough to make this thing viable for us?
Dave, I think you're hitting on it. Critical piece that I should have fleshed out a little more for you. So this type of center, and there's a few examples of different universities, research parks that we've talked about, would be a place for entrepreneurs, for incubating businesses, perhaps that are in our program or something else. It could also be a place where a business contracts to reverse engineer a manufacturing, some component in their manufacturing process. Say they want to replace a petroleum product with a hemp oil product. But the third piece would be a center where a private company like Danny's could develop R&D. It's kind of Dan Paz R&D Center, but within a shared use space. So I don't want anyone to think that that money is coming in to support the building necessarily, the construction, the bricks and mortar. It is for the programming costs and getting more people into the center. However, for the legislative appropriation focused on equipment and building needs, this is why the programming costs it won't look like the accelerator we've been discussing for the last couple of years, because we have the potential to get more private sector contracts with this center to help the operational costs going forward. Again, this is very early and it's moving fast. It happened since our last board meeting, and the appropriation request would need to go in before our next board meeting. So I'm sorry I can't answer all of the questions right now, but I can make the commitment that there would be no commitment from our board, from Innovation Park, before coming back to the board and really fleshing this out. I'm just looking to see if we can move forward with working with Michael and Ron to see if that we can make this a reality.
Do you have some sense as to the kind of square footage that are needed? I imagine it's going to be staged, but initially you mentioned a lot of different things that this thing would do. It's going to take quite a bit of, you know, square footage to do it. Do you have any sense of that?
I think that was Eric. You said I mentioned a lot of things. Do I have a sense of what? I'm sorry?
The amount of space that would be required initially.
We talked through this a good bit. So if we, for example, if a facility like this was going to extract oil and process hemp fiber in the same facility as the Innovation Center, we would need a lot of square footage, and that equipment is very costly. So the center could be, I don't know the short answer, Eric, but it's not a huge amount of space. I think for phase one, for starting this, if a particular research group could need to use similar equipment that's in the accelerator on a contract basis, that's funding for the accelerator program, there could be needs for other types of equipment within the Hemp Innovation Center. That's what Michael and Danny were going to start to talk about and flesh out. But my sense was from our meeting last week that it would look and feel like another component of the accelerator at this point. And we could get oil and fiber that's extracted and processed from other facilities. So we wouldn't have to do it in-house. I don't know if I really got there, but it's another incubator space, if that's the easiest way. I just don't want to describe it like that because it is more than just an incubator. For anyone who went to the Greenville trip last spring, this is of a different caliber, but Clemson has a innovation center with the automotive industry. Mazda contract, there's a cohort of students that work on one automobile. It's proprietary from market research through actually building the vehicle. And that is one of the first things that stood out to me as a center that has a lot of private sector investment, proprietary information that uses students and research professors to give them that experience who are already, you know, attached to your local universities. A lot of those students do get jobs in the automotive industry. So that is not a one-to-one comparison, but it is one of the things that stood out to me through this conversation.
Kristen, there's a follow-up question from Dave, and then I'm going to reach out to Ron and just get from a staff perspective their thoughts on it. So, Dave?
Kristen, do we know of any environmental issues that this would cause us to be concerned about?
On the contrary, Dave, I'm sorry. There will likely be a lot of research into this in the near future, but the studies that I've seen and a lot of discussions, the hemp plant can help clean toxins out of the ground, help clean stormwater. It is a whole cycle plant. So the waste products, you can't even really call them waste products. It can go towards livestock feed and other types of uses. So this is not only a low impact and more sustainable, environmental friendly agriculture process, but throughout the entire system, through product development, it is low waste, low impact. Obviously, I'm not a scientist, so there could be other things. You know, we're looking at biofuels or things like that. I don't know if there's other issues we may need to look at, but everything I've learned about this and been and read is this is going to be a really good product for us moving forward for environmental issues.
Ron?
Yeah, there clearly are a lot of details that we've got to work out here. We just sort of jumped into this, was it last week, Michael? And we've had earlier conversations with Kristen, but we don't have all the answers to all the questions that we need to have answers to. So I think what the question is, do we have enough time to get enough of the details that we can put this legislative funding request together in just a couple of weeks, and then have probably we would have to have the executive committee review and approve that request.
I'd probably say, it sounds like there's the interest.
Well, I think there is. We still have enough details.
Right.
I think the basic idea is that we can use this sort of other side of the house to leverage what we're doing with the other incubator, or with our incubator. So I don't have enough details at this point to know, and from what we've heard, how much leverage we're actually going to get. It sounds like we've got to add on to the facility. It sounds like we've got additional equipment. So I don't have a good answer at this point. I think we have to just do more homework. And Michael's done a good job of starting the conversation with this gentleman to sort of understand more of the details. But to jump in and try to get the request is, we got a ways to go.
Okay, so board, we understand that there's additional information to be gathered. And Dave?
I'll move that staff be directed to delve into this, determine what the issues are, come back with a recommendation to the executive committee, and proceed post haste, assuming this does not in any way distract us from working on the incubator. I think that process has pretty much been established and put to bed, hasn't it?
I don't know about put to bed. It's in process. So there's still a lot to go. We're still recruiting companies, and Michael's going to tell you about what he's done. But
this won't distract from that process.
And more than anything else.
Motion's on the table.
Okay. So we have a motion and a second. So are there questions?
Are there any other legislative requests that this would conflict with?
Kristen?
That was the question, if there was any other legislative requests?
Yeah, that might be a direct competition with.
Right.
Obviously, we won't know that completely until we see what other bills are filed. But I would not be surprised if UCS, UF, someone else has an idea like this, but I've not heard anyone mention it. For the private sector people and hemp associations, we have three of them in the state who I've talked to, not one has mentioned this part of the discussion. Everyone's focused on processing and CBD oil and some other things. To that point, though, and the reason why I know this is challenging to do this one by phone, thank you all very much for coming in that, and so quickly, this is Senator Mumford's last year. This is a year hyper-focused on Hurricane Michael recovery, we hope, and we can tie this to workforce creation across the region, so it's a regional bill, so it's a better position for us, for Innovation Park, and for this center, than I think we will have in future years, and that is why we might actually be successful.
Okay, one more comment from Ron, and then we'll move back into...
Yeah, another challenge we have that kind of goes along with this is we may not, I mean, even if we're successful getting an EDA grant, we may not get the full amount of the grant. That's sort of been relayed to us, that that's a big possibility. And initially, we were looking at going to the legislature for funding related to the incubator to fill that gap. So obviously, this doesn't sound like it could fill the gap. It sounds like additional dollars and additional expense. So that's my bigger concern at this point. Now, from what the conversation with Kristen is, we're not likely, if I recall correctly, Kristen, we're not likely to get that funding for our incubator from the legislature.
Correct.
Yes, Ron, I wasn't sure if you wanted me to get into that at this point, but...
No, you don't have to go any further into it.
Okay,
so where we are then, Kristen, then thank you for that. Then we have the motion and the second to research and delve down into this further. All those in favor of the motion as presented, please acknowledge with a sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition. Okay, then get to work. Then that's where our next step is. Thank you, Kristen.
Madam Chair, thank you all very, very much. I wish I could be there with you, and I will see you on the 24th.
Yes, ma'am. Safe travels.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Bye.
Bye-bye now. Okay, get back to that agenda, and I promise we will move through it swiftly. New energy lease.
Madam Chair, the Mr. Meeker mentioned, we have worked on several alternatives with them already, but one alternative that I could not authorize was giving away basically double the space for the same price as what he's getting now. We in our current lease, we have a provision to be able to move tenants from the Knight building should we need to. So that was the option that we were exercising. But recognizing that we wouldn't necessarily move right away or need him to move right away, we gave him the option to stay until we came up with another alternative or otherwise needed to get him out of there. That option was presented, as well as the option to take additional space in the Morgan building, but pay the per square foot difference for the extra amount. So basically, there would be no incentive built into any of those options other than maybe a little bit because we were forcing him to move, so which was to give him, he'd get a little extra free space, but not double. So those were the options that we presented. His option was presented. So those are listed in the alternatives there, A and B.
And just as clarification for the new board members joining us at the table, this issue itself would otherwise be handled at Ron's level. The only reason that it's being brought to our attention is because of the request being to have the additional space doubled.
I'm limited to about 10%.
Correct.
As far as my latitude on incentives. And clearly this is more than 10%. And again, for the new board members, I can authorize up to 5,000 square feet leases at market rates and using a standard contract. Any major deviations from our standard lease, the council would have to determine whether it's substantial. And if it is, then we'll have to come back to the board. That's basically my latitude.
Of these options, what's your preference? What's your recommendation?
No question.
And I understand his position in that, you know, we're here to support startup companies, and we're doing that with our incubator. We've done it with the Knight building with below market lease rates. The challenge is setting precedent.
Which is what I was going to bring up.
And that is my primary concern. I think he's doing a great job. He's obviously got a lot of potential. He's been able to raise funds. But it's not that. The analogy is the one I think I've mentioned to others is what United Airlines is doing now is they're not letting you change seats because somebody else sitting next to you may have already paid full price for the seat, and here you're getting it and you're from the lower prices. It's just a bad precedent. I think down the road we're going to have problems. We can provide a little bit of incentives, but double the space, even if it's empty. I've talked to two companies in the last month that are interested in space. Both of them expressed interest in that particular space. And if they were interested in moving into that space, Obviously, that would create challenges. Even if he could get out quickly, you know, it's you've got somebody in the space.
Not at this juncture. Other comments, questions regarding this item, or is there a motion?
I'd just like to make an observation that I understand the precedent issue. On the other hand, you've got somebody who's got a track record, which somebody coming in off the street would not have over some period of time here in the park. Mm-hmm. And he's done what he's done. We've got jobs he's created. He's got federal funds that he's brought in. And he's got periods of time here in the park. And that's not something you're going to find very often. So I think you don't have to worry that much to me about a precedent. Seems to me it goes back to what you've got. If you've got somebody else to rent it, then I don't know if they would be flexible enough to go with an expanded arrangement now. But if somebody weren't able to come in and rent that space, then we go back to another option. But for the time being, to put that space available to them seems to me to make some sense, because we don't have anything else to go for. Nobody else to go into it.
Absolutely right. I think the challenge, and I'll grab you, Eric, the challenge that I saw with it, I was concerned about precedents, and the second was related to that if there were other folks that were interested in the space, the ability for them to quickly move out of that space, because that's what they're stating, that they will move, release that space if there is someone that's interested in paying for it. Well, we have a couple of folks or businesses that are, and then what would that look like? You know, would that be immediate? Would they require 90 days? And then you miss out on the other opportunity for the paid space. Eric?
Well, I was just wondering, relative to precedent, the fact that you're basically requiring them to move, if that could be used as, lack of a better word, excuse to have a little bit extra flexibility, but not from the standpoint of a long-term precedent, that would be the rationale as to why you were going to make an exception.
Yes,
and I agree with what's been said in the possibility of putting one additional side on it, the term, you know, in some way, you know, a shorter term, something that happens after a set period of time to start moving toward market rate. Philosophically, I agree with what Ray has said, even though I certainly understand Ron's concerns as well.
Other comments?
Can you handicap, do you have any feel at all, the probability of either of these two parties? Mm-hmm. Is it a 50-50, better than that, not as good as that?
50-50 is probably as good as I can go at this point. They both have other things that they're considering, and so I don't know. They haven't. It's not like they're banging down the door at this point. So I don't know.
Is there a window of time that you can?
One of them is probably another 30 days. I think the other one is like 1st of January. But just to reiterate what he's asking for, is basically he's currently got about 600 square feet. 500 square feet. He's looking for 1,280 square feet at the same price. Okay,
so as the 500.
As the 500. So more than double. Okay, he has offered to have the rent adjusted up to what would be based on the current per square feet lease rate if another tenant is found. And so if he can match it, basically, to say if somebody else comes in and wants the space, he would have the option to match it. Or he could then downsize to other space at the same current rate or relocate. So he's given some flexibility in to the fact that if someone were to want to come in, then he would relocate and he would move somewhere else. And we also set a term of 1 year for that arrangement. So after 1 year, then he would either go to market rates or he'd have to move to a different space.
Okay. Other comments before we take action?
That certainly answers all my questions.
Okay.
It seems to me it's a very flexible.
Mm-hmm. And if I can add one more thing, based on our earlier conversation and what he was presenting earlier, is with the things that are going on in his business right now, he doesn't really want to move immediately.
Okay.
So basically, what I would need is the authority that in the event that we need the space and I need to force him to move out at night, that we could offer him one of these other options. It may not happen today, but it could happen at that point in time.
So,
to give me that flexibility.
Okay, so is there a motion?
So moved.
Okay.
I'll second.
Wait a minute, what is the motion?
Well, that's the motion.
Okay.
We move with his option.
So
okay, what staff was presenting is that he wanted the flexibility and or the authority to, even though he's not ready to move now, our folks there at New Energy, that he have the authority to be able to provide one of these options, which could be the 1,200 square feet of space or something larger than what he has. What we're trying to accomplish through the motion is that he would have that authority, otherwise he only has a 10% window.
Correct.
So it could be one of any of these options.
So the motion then is to give the executive director the authority to proceed
correct
with any of these options.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And not have his hands tied with the 10%.
I'll second if it's not been seconded.
Well, I second it.
She seconded it, right?
Okay, it's been properly motioned. Concerns? Okay, it's been properly motioned and second. The approval of the motion as I presented it and it's understood. All those in favor, please acknowledge with a sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. Okay, our next item, property and casualty insurance renewal.
So this was our annual renewal process. So Brown & Brown is our contracted broker. They went out to market. They did find a competing carrier, and we've had this competing carrier come to us with lower prices in the past. And this was something I asked them to put together that came out after the agenda packet went out, just to sort of explain this a little bit. So the alternative proposal that we received was from Nationwide, and it was about $11,000 cheaper than CNA. And in this example, we're only talking about the property piece. The difference is that in the case of CNA, the deductible for wind and hailstorm damage is $25,000 per building. And Johnson Morgan is, they're considered one building because they're attached. In the case of Nationwide, it's a 2% deductible. So this little report here shows the difference. So we're talking about in the event of wind and hail, so hurricanes, our exposure is going to be basically $100,000 versus the Nationwide, which is $241,000. And the CNA, this $25,000 is grandfathered in. Should we move away from this, we will never get it back, because that's what the market is going, the market does, is they do the percentage. So this is something we've debated in the past. In the past, the board looked at this as the amount of risk we're willing to take on as a public board, and in the past have decided to stick with the $25,000 per building versus the 2%. So the proposal that's in the agenda is to stay with CNA at a total cost, and this includes other coverages, which is in your packet. There's a link to the actual cost summary. Of $55,278, that's staying with CNA, not doing the 2% deductible with Nationwide. It's an increase of $2,300, or about 4%, over the prior year, mostly because of the costs of impacts of hurricanes on property insurance. And then, in addition, I've asked to add some new coverage with an annual premium about $661, which is $500,000 of cyber liability coverage, which we did not have in the past. I think everyone recognizes the value of cyber liability coverage these days.
Okay, so we've heard the staff's recommendation regarding continuing with the current carrier.
Motion to approve Brown & Brown as a carrier.
Second.
Well, Brown & Brown is the agent, so it's Brown & Brown's proposal with the carriers as listed in the board agenda packet.
Okay, so it's been properly motioned and second the approval as presented, staff recommendation. All those in favor, please acknowledge with a sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition. Motion passes. Okay, We're going to transition to the draft budget. And April's not here.
Yes. So unfortunately, we were not able to have a budget committee meeting or an executive committee meeting to look at this. So we're going to have to get in the weeds a little more than we typically would. Find the weeds. So I provided you in the budget with a narrative, and that sort of explains the changes between the prior year budget and the current year budget. This budget by building is the primary one that we use, so you can see, you know, which building is creating what cost. We put all of our administrative expenses under the Knight building. I didn't change that for the upcoming budget year, even though we're moving the Collins building, but for practical reasons, it's easier for us to keep that in Knight so we have comparative information. So the actual change in the proposed budget on the net operating income is we go from a budget break even last year to losing $30,000 this year on the net operating side. That's before capital expenditures. In this current year forecast, we're actually looking to make about $85,000 versus the break-even, so we're doing better. That's predominantly because of FSU IT services. They stuck around in the Morgan building longer than they had originally intended. Thank you, FSU. If you go through the narrative, you can see... Let me pull the narrative up. Apologies. And you see the difference here. In the narrative, it says 27,000. If you look at your report, it says that as well. The difference is I found one error since this was submitted to you, and it's a $2,800 error related to a tenant that's no longer in the Knight building that was still listed in our schedule. So I fixed that. So that's how we ended up with that small difference. The assumptions built into this budget is that we stick with what we know. We're not speculating as to additional tenants. We're not speculating as to what Michael's going to be able to accomplish in filling this building. This is our hope, worst case. And this is traditional, or I should say typical of the way we budgeted in the past. We typically have done better than budget. I don't know why. When you budget worst case, But we've talked in the past about some of the leasing issues that we have and some of the things going forward. That's all. Everything we know is reflected in here. The good news is we had, like I mentioned, IT services. We also had Corey Bio is our newest tenant in this building. They're in the lab. That's going to generate a little bit. The National Park Service lease will renew in February. I have not heard anything that they are not going to renew. I think if they were going to move, we'd know about it by now. That has an automatic rent increase built into it of approximately $36,000. That's a five-year extension, but they have a 60-day out on that lease. FSU Anthropology, based on what we understand, we expect them to continue to renew for the near future. That does have a small rent increase in it as well. As I mentioned, we haven't budgeted anything for the impact on the incubator space in this building. My expectation is, again, for the new board members, the incubator program is being it's going to be run out of a nonprofit that we're creating. The expectation is that most of those funds are going to flow back to LCRDA in the form of rent. So LCRDA is going to cover all the costs, basically, of operating the facility, including Michael's salary and all of that. So basically, through various lease agreements and other agreements with the nonprofit, those funds, it should be a wash, basically, is what we're expecting. So we've also, Michael's done a great job in terms of the relationship with FAMU and the, their grant and providing services. And so we expect another $15,000. Actually, it's going to be 30 in the upcoming year because we had a lag in the timing of getting the second of three-year $15,000 payments. There are some other programs and grants that Michael's working on that's not reflected in here yet. We don't have anything nailed down specifically. So we could actually do better as a result of that. Interest income is a big variable. We did a lot better this past year than we had budgeted, principally because we didn't spend the $1.8 million that we thought we were going to spend on this building or on the new incubator building. So we had forecasted that to go down, and so when it didn't, we made more. Plus, interest rates continued to rise. Don't know where that's headed right now. As I think they've had a couple of cuts, but we're still working on that with the investment committee. Here's my annual warning about Phipps Building. In 2022, October 1 of 2022, we will start to see a $100,000 per year decrease of our current rents. That's a big hole to fill.
Yes, it is.
So we had built into the budget 3.5% increases for the executive director because, you know, I got to put it in there. I don't know what you're going to do. We'll find that out later, but it's in there. And 4% for the remaining staff. I also added expenses related to the results of our compensation committee and some of the benefits that they had approved. So that's in there. Utilities, big decrease mainly because of IT services moving out. Maintenance. Last year we got hit with a big $20,000 painting expense on Phipps. We have in the lease, there are certain things we're required to do. We've been working with them to maintain a little bit of flexibility on that. Stephanie's done a great job with that, but we were able to reduce that from a higher number just by letting them know that the whole building didn't need to be painted because there's certain types of paint that we used in the last time that has a longer life. It didn't look bad, so we just did the parts that needed to be painted, save a little bit of money there, but we still had to do it. And we also got hit with the Johnson Building National Park Service for painting inside. I'm sorry, that's in this upcoming year.
Right.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah.
So we caught that on this lease and included it in the budget for this upcoming year.
This last year was carpet.
Yeah. And the Park Service, you know, working with GSA, they are getting very particular about the types of maintenance that you have to do and that you do it on schedule. So she's doing a better job of capturing all that information so we know what's coming up. Service cost increases, mostly related to occupancy of this building. As you may recall, we pay per square foot on janitorial services, so some of that square footage changed. It went down for IT services, up for us, and that's kind of a net change. EEP, we did not execute all the programs last year. We're going to offer the program one time this upcoming year. Michael is pivoting the program to be more tech focused. In the past, it was kind of open to the public. Any, you know, take all comers, whether it was a hair salon or whatever. This going forward will be focused more on tech companies, tech startups, hard science tech. And he's modified some of the costs as a result of only offering once per year, and we're going to look at how we do some of the other expenses. So marketing PR was reduced to $1,500. Just we eliminated one promotional video that was included in the prior year. And then we had, obviously, in this past current year, we had some moving expenses that won't continue next year. And then the property insurance quote is reflected there. The capital budget, we've typically budgeted $15,000 to $30,000 a year for HVAC replacements. So this one, we have 30,000. We've done a lot in this building just in the last few months in terms of just repairs and maintenance. This building's been sitting idle for a while, so HVAC has been a big problem starting to back up. Plus, during the renovation, they're running AC, and it really tested the systems. But Steph's done a good job of getting a lot of that repaired and up and running again. Last year's capital budget had the 1.8 for the Collins Building renovations, which was assuming that we were going to use this for the incubator, and then that got shifted over to the for matching funds with the EDA grant. And then we ended up spending $160,000 on this renovation that we're sending in right now. So we have nothing in the budget for the proposed new building or any related grant funding, so we're just take that as it comes. And then the prior year budget, you did amend the budget to include money for the new furniture that you're sitting at and on, and the lab equipment for this building as well. That $34,000, that won't continue, obviously, for next year. And then we've given you additional information on deferred maintenance. So those are the big changes related to the budget from the prior year. I can go into more detail if you like. I've given you some other schedules there that support all the information that goes into this. We basically do a zero-based budget. So we start with every contract we know about, every lease we know about, and go from there. There's very little that's just, hey, this is what we did last year. A lot of it is the maintenance items are probably the biggest variables we don't know about. We have some history, but occasionally you get surprised by one. But everything else is very much about existing contracts and known costs.
Again, so no methodology changes with it. We've gone over the significant or substantive changes. Is there a motion for approval of the draft budget?
So moved. Second.
Okay, so it's been properly motioned and second for approval of the 2019-2020 budget. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposition? Motion carries. Ron, item 11. Funds designated for capital?
Yes. In the financial statements, our audited financial statements, a prior board in the past designated $1.4 million in cash and cash equivalents for future capital projects. I don't have any real history on what was behind that number, but I think it was the board's attempt to say, we know we're going to have capital projects in the future. Let's set some money aside and just designate it. As I mentioned in the item, the designation is not the same as reserving funds. It is sort of just the board's intention to potentially use that money in the future. It's more flexible, I guess, than an actual reserve from a GASB standpoint. So with the expected $1.8 million to be used for the EDA grant, I thought it was appropriate if we'd go ahead and increase that number to match. We also had the same recommendation from the Investment Advisory Committee last year when they met, asking why that number existed that way, but this seems like a logical time to make that change, and so the financial statements reflect that.
Dave, you have any history on that?
I do not, and I don't think Kristen. Kristen, you on the line still?
No, she's gone. She's
gone. All right. Mm-hmm. I think that even went back further than 8 years, 9 years I've been on the board, so it's just been there. I'll make the motion that be increased to $1.8 million.
So second, okay. So properly motioned and second that we'd establish the designated capital projects fund in the amount of $1.8 million. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. And Ron, bank resolution?
With the changes in officers, we need a formal approval of the bank resolution naming the new officers on that, giving them authorization to execute bank transactions, as well as to authorization to execute other forms and documents necessary to do wire transfers and basically continuing the powers that the previous executive committee possessed.
So moved.
Second. Okay. Properly motion and second. The approval of the bank resolution. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. Item 13.
The when we formed the IPTLH board, the nonprofit board, Innovation Park, Tallahassee, Inc., now we've just shortened it to IBTLH. We appointed the current officers of LCRDA to the board of that nonprofit and named them as officers. What the recommendation is that the new officers of LCRDA be named to replace the existing board of IPTLH. The LCRDA, under the bylaws or the Articles of Incorporation bylaws, have the authority to appoint the majority of the board of IPTLH. Currently, those are the only board members. So the recommendation is that we appoint the three officers as board members, but obviously the current board is going, or the new board would actually have to vote on who the officers would be, the new IPTLH board, if I said that. I was kind of rambling, but...
Okay.
Which the intent would be for them to do that immediately following this meeting. We've scheduled to convene the IPTLH board.
So moved.
Okay. There a second?
Second.
Okay. It's been properly motioned and second. The approval of the board appointments for the Innovation Park Tallahassee Inc. Nonprofit. All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Opposition? Motion carries. And now...
Would it be appropriate for me to make that resignation now or at the next meeting?
You're gonna do it at the next meeting, at the IPTLH meeting.
Yeah. Okay.
Kim, can I ask
a sure, absolutely.
Brief, crazy question. Is this the now our designated acronym for the Innovation Park Tallahassee entity, IPTLH?
Yeah, that's the shorthand version, yes.
Well, but that just stands for Innovation Park Tallahassee.
Yes.
Okay. It's a mouthful.
Not as big as Innovation Park Tallahassee.
No, why not IPT? You know, it's stupid, but for going forward, yeah. I think we need a shorthand way of referring to what this is that will eventually be usable by the public as well. And I think that's it.
That's why we have another one we've added called Infill.
Infill.
Innovation, North Florida Innovation Labs.
You've just added to Ann's concern. No. Okay,
I'm
so,
done.
Okay, thanks, Ann. So we'll transition to 14, and this is just run because the executive committee is going to take up the...
No, the executive committee couldn't.
Okay.
We didn't have a quorum, so the board has the
okay,
pleasure.
So the board has the pleasure of doing this. So before you and in the packet is the summarized, if you will, evaluation. As it was conducted by each of us, and you will note last year's evaluation or scores as well as the change that you've seen. So we have this great opportunity now to weigh in with comments. Relative to salary, I will share with you, there you go. Relative to salary, I will share with you that when the 2019 Compensation Committee took this on, we identified what the going, I call it the rate or the range was for executive directors in this particular role, and it was identified from $75,000 to $174,000, of which we determined that Ron's current salary does fall within that range, so we're not out of bounds with that. This conversation would be relative to whether we saw the need for an increase. Comments for those of us that have been around the table. So good thing Kevin and Sanjoy, you, yeah.
What's the recommendation, Ron, from your budget? 3.5%.
Well, was $5,000, or I think it was 3.5.
And that was 3.5 for you and 4% for your staff.
And the 5,000 has just been consistent with the past couple of years, I think.
The Compensation Committee, I think, did a real good job of looking over everything and spent some time evaluating peers associated with similar type of roles in the community. I'm comfortable with the recommendation of the committee, and we make that motion that we approve the committee's recommendation.
And just for clarification, the recommendation from the committee was tied to the range, but we did not establish a percentage that we would support. So, again, would ask if your motion is to look at the
3.5% and 4% for staff.
Second. Well, if we could just call that $5,000.
Okay, that's good. $5,000. Is that 3.5, roughly?
Roughly, yeah.
All right. $5,000 and 4% staff. Motion amended to include those figures.
Okay, so we have a motion and a second related to the executive director's review. All those in favor, please acknowledge with a sign aye.
Aye.
Opposition?
Madam Chair, I'm really pleased to acknowledge the fine results that our board came back with its evaluation of our executive director. We've been blessed, I think, having Ron on board now for, what, three years?
It's longer than
seven,
that.
Seven years.
Yeah.
Time flies.
At any rate, time flies. But it was a great job the evaluation, the search committee did in locating, identifying, and procuring the employment of Ron. Thank you for your hard work this last year. It's going to get tougher every year, but you're the man to make it happen.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Other comments? Again, I want to recognize both Ron and the team for the work that they've done over the course of the year. We've actually had some really, really good, strong milestones that we've accomplished, and we're looking forward to doing bigger and bigger, better things in the new year. So thank you all.
If I could add to that, look, none of this would be possible if it wasn't for the team that we put together. It's, what we've been able to do in the last 2 years has been amazing compared to the first five. And a lot of it's simply because of staff. It's we now have the time to focus on things other than just leasing buildings and preparing buildings. So it's all due to the board's decisions to allow us to do that. I've certainly enjoyed working with the past chairs. I want to reiterate, Dave and Kristen, if you were here, it's without them leading the charge, I think we'd be in a whole different place. So I thank you very much.
Hey, Tim, if I could just add very briefly. It is really great to feel like we may be, in voting terms, getting up on a plane here, which is very much the feeling that I have, that there's some real momentum that's really occurred, and just very happy to see that, Ron and everybody.
Very good. So we will transition to item number 15, and this is your opportunity. It's the discussion of the executive director goals for 2019-2020. I will tell you that I will take the opportunity to meet with Ron, and we will, of course, discuss proposed goals that he would have for our review. But I would also ask that at this time, if there are specific goals that you all would like for us to take note of as we're having this conversation, just a reminder, this comes out of our compensation committee where we talked about that in addition to the static list that we've seen over time in the way of the evaluation, we wanted to see other goals that talked about specific things that maybe we had underway in the course of the current year. So it's going to be that opportunity. So if you could weigh in now or maybe later with your comments on what you all would like to see in terms of attainment, I will tell you that I've heard some board members just being in here that have talked about let's do the big and bold now that we have done a very good job of maintaining our buildings and talking about maintenance and all of that, that let's move to the next leg of what Innovation Park can and will be. The other that I've heard and that I've voiced myself in an area that I want to work on is more on messaging and communicating the great work that we're doing and branding for the park, and so that certainly not only are we in the room, but we're at the table when these conversations are happening throughout the community. But would welcome any thoughts that you all have at this time or later regarding what you'd like to see.
Well, one thing is there's a lot of stuff teed up.
You're right.
And before we start adding to it, I'd like to land a few of those, make sure that those are well taken care of. We just heard a little bit about a new idea, and that sounds like there's a lot of potential there, but if it's going to fail, we need to fail fast on it. So
bless you.
Great comment on that. I will tell you one of the other things that we're working on, and we'll look to have that, the staff will provide at the end of the month, but we're going to provide to you all, it will be an at-a-glance of everything that we have going on and that we're at least anticipating over the course of this year. We're going to match that with whatever messaging and what we're doing to outreach, so you'll see the three key areas in one place, centralized, we'll all know what's going on, and then when you're talking about adding or taking away, it'll be in this at-a-glance, so we will continue to have that be as our driver, and that would be monthly. So met with Ron, Mike, and Denise, so anticipate that going forward. Okay.
I was going to say, I'm going to be the opposite Eric here. I agree completely with what he said. There are so many more irons in the fire than there ever have been before. and ones that I think have a substantial chance of actually producing something. But I think what is happening is that we've got a lot going on. We're dealing with a lot more people. We're dealing at a level that is different from what we had before. And that means there's always going to be stuff that just comes up really quickly. Mm-hmm. And we have got to be nimble enough to turn on a dime if we have to and go, well, that's not going to work right now, and this looks like it might. And that may involve, Ron, you're having the ability to call board meetings ad hoc, executive committee meetings ad hoc, whatever, you know, whatever is needed to do that. And we as the board, as the governors, have to be ready to be responsive to that.
Absolutely. So
that's what we need to do.
Yeah, okay. I mean, I agree 100%. I'm not suggesting that we, you know, just stay here. But we also have to decide what's the priority, what's important, and not, you know, not kill everything else because we're chasing windmills.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And I would say, it's just as long as it aligns with our strategic plan. I mean, we spend the time and effort developing a long-range strategic plan, so as we start to view and consider other initiatives, we just need to ask ourselves that question, you know, where does this fall within, what are the priorities that we've already established?
And I will discuss this further with the chair, but that's kind of where I've started here. So this outline is based on the strategic plan. So I started trying to plug in some of the things that I think we need to maybe try to accomplish over the next year that fits with that strategic plan. And we can get into the weeds on it later, but just so you know, that I've got to start on something.
That'll be good, because I think even as we're hearing about these new initiatives, if you could point out as a staff recommendation, it falls here with the strategic priority. If it doesn't, then you know.
Yep.
Bring it forward. Okay, Ron, was there anything that you wanted to say on that? Otherwise, I'm going to advance and work with. Okay. Chair's report, just a quick openness and willingness to see if you all would entertain looking at possibly other days of the week in terms of on the schedule as well as times. I could share and put forward some things to you all, but I didn't want to do that without at least having a conversation and you all realizing that, hey, it's coming out. Primary reason, of course, I serve on a number of boards, and they have already given me calendars for the next year, and I did not want to ever have there be any conflict with the work that I need to do here. So if you all are okay, then please know that you'll be receiving in your email, just not a confirm, but asking you what days and time will work best for you if we have to look at other options. Okay. 2019-2020 planning, we already hit that by way of what we're going to do with Ron and the planning. You'll see that in our next meeting. Staff reports, we'll move swiftly on that. Then Executive Director, Ron.
Yeah, so Collins Building, here it is.
Yay.
So we're really excited about this building, and I hope y'all can stick around at the end and take the tour with us if you haven't seen it already. We're really excited about it. I think we finally have all of our furniture put together. It's been a major task, and I really appreciate the staff, and it really disrupts things when you pick up your lawn operation and move it, and they've done a great job of sticking with it. The trail, just wanted to give you a quick update, and the best way is to show you pictures. So I walked it yesterday, and this is not what it looked like yesterday. This is when they first started. You see the dirt where they started clearing it. And they did concrete approaches from the sidewalks onto the trail, which is kind of good. And now you can kind of see this is where the material went down. So they used the recycled asphalt material. And they're doing I've asked them to do a better job of compacting it. So it looks a little more like that, a little harder, a harder pack than a dusty, loose material. But we'll see how that goes. This was actually on Thursday. They're building a bridge over this little ravine. That was actually completed. I saw it was completed yesterday. And they've seeded, you can kind of see how they've seeded along the sides of the trail. See the pond off to the right there. Only so many ways you can show this. It looks like a trail. This was the mag lab over by the mag lab. It wasn't done yet at that point, but it is done now. Some great views. Oh my gosh, my wife went with me yesterday and she's like, this is really, really, really cool.
How long is it, Ron?
Yeah, I was going to ask.
What's that?
How long is it? I can't remember.
The whole thing, including all the three little fingers that come off the side, is 6/10 of a mile.
Okay.
And we walked it in about 10 minutes.
Yeah. Okay.
So you can walk around three times in a half hour. It's,
yep.
It's a nice little.
Yeah.
Quick question. How thick is the material?
I believe it's 4 inches.
Oh, okay.
And it's sitting on a geo fabric.
Oh, great. Perfect.
So.
Great.
And are bikes supposed to be able to go on this, or
yes.
Are you going to say no bikes?
No, we're not going to prevent bikes.
Not going to allow?
We're not going to prevent them, no.
Prevent them.
I don't think we put that on the sign.
No, only motorized.
No motorized vehicles.
Yeah.
I still have a question. We had bollards to put up by the night building to stop mm-hmm. people from going there, but now I wasn't expecting the entrances to the trails to be that accessible,
mm-hmm.
and so we're going to have to talk to them about putting bollards up probably at the other two entrances just to make sure people don't drive on it. It's wide enough to drive on.
So. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
So that was an oversight on my part. Just happened to see a bird. And that's me in the shadow there taking a picture. This is the I believe, the trail going up by the night building. At the top there, we do have a little cutout for a couple of parking spaces. Just two. It's not, you know, we expect this not to be a destination. It's really going to be the amenity for the people in the park. This is down just by the night building. We do have four benches and trash cans and dog stations and all that yet to put up. That's Don's next job. We took that out of the contract because they were going to charge us a crazy amount of money to do that, and Don's paid for it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you say it's a cool trail.
It looks great. We're
going to get on the grand opening details. We wanted to sort of space it out with this building's grand opening
mm-hmm.
on the 24th. And,
right.
But we'll get that message. It's going to be open. People will be able to go, you know, get on it. But our part right now is keeping them off while they've still got the construction going on.
Exactly.
So you got designated areas for gator sunbathing?
You know, in my 7 years, I've never seen a gator out there. I've seen lots of other wildlife, but
now we're going to get a call next month.
We do have a couple of beavers out there, but I've seen a couple of trees they've cut down.
Okay, questions for Ron related to his report? Okay. Mike, let's go ahead and keep the magic going.
So I provided a report in the packet you received, but I wanted to highlight a couple of things.
Perfect.
In the report, the EDA grant was submitted September 17th, and a pretty quick turnaround time for that. I did have a conversation with Greg Bidet, our EDA representative for this region, and just to clarify a couple of things in the application, which was done on at the very time that I spoke with him on October 1st, and that's a good thing because we didn't hear anything last year for clarifications or anything else. So I saw that as a good thing. But Dave, you're going to ask me what my percentage is that I think success is going to be. I'm not going to answer that because although it was encouraging, there's other things that are less than.
Did either or both of our senators finally come through with letters?
So one did. Yes, sir. And we actually did quite well. We had 12, I think, or maybe it was even more, letters of support, 3 from political figures. Yeah, so we did very well. 4 from political figures.
Who were they?
Yeah. Same
question. Would you like me to provide a list afterwards? Would that be more convenient?
Well, actually, if you just...
So Rubio, mm-hmm. the mayor, Neil Dunn, and Al Lawson.
Okay.
We're the 4. But I meant the full list of I could hand that or I could email that to folks if you'd like to see.
We'll wait until it's awarded.
Yeah, there you go.
So we'll know who to thank. Yeah.
Then the next item on the list is the SBIRS-TTRs. That's been going quite well. There's a couple of things Ron already spoke about as far as the grants. There's one from FAMU, one from DOMI mm-hmm. on a SBIR grant, which we're going to do those programs here
mm-hmm.
to keep our firm hold on the SBIR arena. Also, I've been meeting with individual entrepreneurs. There's been 4 hours in August, 7 hours in September on counseling on SBIR proposal submissions, and there's been more than that already in October, so that's starting to pick up quite well. A couple other things I wanted to highlight. We held our first North Florida Innovation Labs Advisory Group meeting, and there's a list of individuals, and then Denise has done a website, which if you'll scroll up just a little bit, you can see the folks there. Reading the list, I think it's pretty impressive who's on our advisory council. We've got great representation from the university systems, and, well, you can read it. I thought it was pretty wonderful that these folks agreed to be on our council, or I'm calling it a group, advisory group. The other thing is we're going to be holding our very first event in this room on Wednesday evening, and that's the mentor night that we are doing with, in collaboration with the all the other players in the ecosystem. So that'll be held here Wednesday night, 6 to 8, I believe, and that's a mentor night. There's actually two pitches from entrepreneurs that pitched the group that night, and then they get paired up with mentors. So that's pretty cool. And then lastly, I was personally quite disappointed in not receiving the FAST grant. The FAST grant, as you recall, and for the benefit of the new members, is a $125,000 annual grant. Typically, if you win the first year, you get up to 5 years consecutively. So as much as $625,000 to do SBI or STTR training. In the past, just to give a little history, I've been doing SBI or STTR training for about 15 years. And at every other place that I've been that we submitted the FAST grants, we won. And so this year, I was told that we probably will win. But as it turns out, there was an explanation, if you will, and it's more for my benefit than yours because you really don't know the program. But I did speak individually with the person that runs the program of SBA, and in her words, she was heartbroken. But here's how it broke down. There were 42 applicants, 24 awards. She didn't have anything negative to say from the reviewers. Now, one thing that is different this year, she wasn't one of the reviewers. Mm-hmm. And then she hinted that we were 25th out of 24. So, yeah, that doesn't help.
14 of us tied for 25th.
But I'll just highlight a couple things. There were no poor ratings. There were a couple of things that I think didn't help us. One, we're not in an opportunity zone. And I put a quote from the acting administrator of SBA, and they're very much focused on opportunity zones. Again, not an excuse, just an explanation. I think that may have hurt us. The other thing that hurts us is Florida, despite this region, Florida is in what they call Tier 1 states, the top 15 states that win SBIRs, TTRs. If you're in the top states, one of the reasons why this hasn't been applied to before from Florida, and there's only one allowed from each state with the governor's signature, is because they don't get it, because they're not a focus. The Tier 1s are usually out. However, I highlighted that five Tier 1s actually won. So I wanted to find out why, and through a little bit of probing, I found out that, and if you look at the very bottom of the report, it talks about three that are Tier 1 top states. And one is CIT, the Center of Innovation. I used to work there, by the way. They've won a lot in the past, but not consecutively lately. But they won. They're in an opportunity zone. TEDCO is the group out of Maryland, and I work there too. TEDCO has a funding component where they match funds, a big plus for applying for these kinds of grants. I don't know anything about Colorado or the Ohio one, other than the Ohio one is in an opportunity zone. And then First Flight out of North Carolina has a funding component as well. And just for those that are new, Ron and I went up to First Flight to look at their program and try to mirror it. Actually, I developed the program. Turns out they were very close, and we went up to see what they were doing and how they were successful, and we used that for our application this time around. So anyway, there's some stats and all that kind of stuff in there, but I really wanted to understand why we didn't win, and it looks like opportunity zones and being in a top-tier state, although I was strongly encouraged to apply again this coming year or next year, calendar year.
And the good news is we were able to get the governor's letter this year.
Yeah.
Last year we couldn't get it. We So basically, this is awarded to one entity per state. And so the governor has to write a letter of recommendation for that entity. And we were able to secure that with Ann's help and working with EEO to move it up through the chain. So that was good.
One thing that I did want to point out, I guess I jumped ahead, is 11 of the winners were opportunity zones, and 8 of those were bottom-tier states or third-tier states. Mm-hmm. But here's the one that I like. 4 of the consecutive winners are dropping off this year after this award because they're in their 5th year.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to get in there again this year.
How close are we to the nearest opportunity zone? I know there's OZ right up close to FSU's campus, right between FSU and FAMU, so, I mean, we're close.
Within 5 miles, in fact, I could almost reach and touch 8 of them within 5 miles of this location. So right in Tallahassee, there's 22 within 60 miles.
Is it a zip code driven?
Roughly, yes. They designate neighborhoods with a special code. But it's roughly based on zip code. And we did use the regional approach and incorporated the fact that we're closely next to 8. And then I even did a 30-mile radius amount, which was 11, and then a 60-mile radius.
We did that in the EDA grant.
And we did that in the EDA grant as well, because there are also, well, it is a EDA, and they're also interested in opportunity zones. That's the hot topic.
Can you get a post office box?
You're creative, right?
Actually, pardon me, but that's actually why we have the Domi sub-award. They use my credentials, if you will, for their grant, and they won because for a different grant. It's called a Growth Accelerator Fund, and they won that to do SBIRs, which they're funneling the money to us to actually do the training. Yes, sir.
To that point, it seems like we ought to at least be able to explore partnering with FSU and FAMU, who do have property inside the OZ, to then next time reapply, exactly. Linking that together.
Interestingly enough, I mentioned in the application both FAMU and FSU for providing services from the tech transfer offices, which Brent and Reese agreed to do. So they were in it. It's just the address that the applicant was not.
Am I correct in saying that once you're in it, you're likely to remain for 5 years?
Yes, sir. That's been my experience.
Well, we got the 4 that are dropping off, so that creates
some space.
Yeah.
Well, if you'd had a better chair last year, probably.
And again, seriously, I really think it's opportunity zone was even the second reason. I think because we're a top tier state, and that was relayed to me over and over again. And that's what, because I wondered why Florida, when I came here, I researched it. Florida in the past 12 years has never won it. They don't show who applied. And I wondered what the problem was. And apparently the top tier stations don't, because they don't win. But there's exceptions.
Questions related to Michael's report? If not, then transition to Denise.
Just a few highlights. We do have a Tech Topics coming up on October 11th. This one will be focused on robots that walk and run with Dr. Christian Hibiki. We are at capacity. We actually have 55 sign-ups, so we are past capacity, but we'll have it completely filled, which is going to be great. We did have a previous event on August 28th that took place at the CAPS building, which focused on the Florida Department of Transportation and some of the research they're doing at their Structures Research Center here. And we had 48 people attended that. And then our next one will be taking place in November, and we're working on finalizing the plans for that. The next event, which I will be sending, Peggy or I will be sending a calendar invite to, is the open house, which is on October 24th. We are working with the Tallahassee Chamber of Commerce. We're doing a ribbon cutting ceremony at 3 p.m. We'd love to have as many people attending as possible. I have invited the media to the event. They haven't confirmed if they're going to be here or not, but they said they put it on their calendars to try to make it. We will also have drinks and light hors d'oeuvres and networking and tours of the facility. So please invite anybody that you think would be of interest to come to that event.
And you all got the copy of the write-up from the Democrat?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Perfect.
Nicely done.
Yes.
Thank you.
Did you pin that out yourself? Or?
Yes, and then I had everybody edit it for me. So
we work well together.
Yeah. So thank you. So the next event, October is a very big event month for all of us. So the other event that I have going on is we're doing an Entrepreneurs Club, an e-club meeting with tech grant winners and EEP alums. We are partnering with Val Stern, who's going to provide some digital marketing training for those at the event at no cost to them. And that is going to be on October 22nd from 5:30 to 7:30 p.m. here. And you guys are more than welcome to attend that if you'd like to as well.
So how many folks do we have planned on participating?
I am probably going to guess we'll have between 20 and 30 people. Right now I have 13 signups.
Okay.
So we're getting there, and I'll keep sending out invites and stuff as well. The last thing that I've been working on is working with Michael and Ron on the North Florida Innovation Labs website. I created a microsite for the incubator within our site currently, which is right where, that's not going to go to that. Yeah, so under Entrepreneurship North Florida Innovation Labs, I've created just a one-page site, but with the headers you can click and it'll take you to the different sections. But I've done quite a bit of work on that, just providing as much information as possible. So I've done that. We did do a press release. We're hosting an open house. I've also announced it in our email, and I'm going to be sending out a direct e-blast regarding the open house and this overall incubator being launched. And I'm working on supporting marketing initiatives for what Michael is doing, because he's doing a lot of direct outreach with companies. And then we also have a My View that is going to be sent this week.
Excellent.
And that is pretty much it for me at this moment.
How will you hype the opening of the trail?
I'm going to work on that once I get there. But I have some ideas that I have is actually maybe even doing a walk challenge within the park as well as people opening. We can provide kind of signature branded pedometers or something. But I'm got things in the works, but I want to make sure that the trail is done and then also it's a little bit cooler out. Once it gets down, probably in November and December, we'll probably do an event.
The state used to have a director of trails position. I don't know if that still works or not, but maybe they can help with something. I don't know.
I can see what we can do. Yeah, I can look into it.
Yeah, because that's a great point, because that's one of the reasons that we're looking at establishing this at a glance, so that we can talk about all the opportunities to leverage and get it out there even bigger and connect folks with it. A couple of points for Denise. Could you get, I'm thinking new members, but also thinking about the existing members too, talking points tied to the when we're all here for the grand opening or the ribbon cutting?
Absolutely.
That if any of us are, media comes up to you, certainly like to be prepared and have some talking points of sort and not have to defer everybody to Ron. So I'm thinking about that. And then also just to be mindful and make you all aware that I've also asked the team to inventory our assets so that whether you're a new member, an old member, whatever the case may be, we'll have it in an at-a-glance, everything near and, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, Denise, great report. Property manager.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am.
Let's see here, Ron's already talked about that we've got chairs and trash cans and things, doggy stations for the trail. One of the things that I'm working on now, starting to work on, is getting the correct directional signs in the park that lead you to what is now, the admin building here at Collins. So we're going to be working on that. And then, obviously everyone can see everything that we've been doing. A lot of it kind of surrounds Collins building with all the repairs that we've been doing. So that's about it.
Yeah, the Collins project really took a lot from Calcor. I mean, we did eventually get somebody going, hey, I haven't seen you guys around our building for a while. Don was just so focused on this building. We still have a few things left to do here, some light fixtures and locks and door stops and just all the little stuff you don't think about. So they're doing a great job of staying on top of that, so we'll continue to move with that and hopefully have all of it done by the 24th.
Absolutely.
We will have all of it done by the 24th.
Include that sink. Yes.
And by the way, the sign out front, if you couldn't find where it said Collins on, it's because we took it off. We got to make room for, we're going to put Leon County R&D Authority and North Florida Innovation Labs on the monument sign. We're moving Collins up to the little top, the top tier of the sign to make room for that. So you'll be able to find us next time.
Again, great progress. Any new business to take up? If not, and we've already addressed the Collins building tour, then we'll move to adjournment. Yes, go ahead.
I didn't hear the word airport in this whole discussion. And I think we're missing an opportunity. That's one of those things that I think is a high priority. It should remain a high priority.
I will put it.
Because I think there's opportunities there.
We'll
and
that's
not
there. Right.
And that's,
exactly.
And that's on my list as well.
Ray, I think both Ann and I both made ourselves available to the city. Tell me if I'm wrong, but
it was a long time ago, and I have not.
We both said we'd be available to serve. There are vacancies on that board.
Mm-hmm.
The mayor has chosen not to make any assignments at this time. Last I heard.
Well, my understanding is that he's waiting to figure out if there's going to be an authority or not an authority. I don't have an opinion on that and did not want to get in the middle of that.
I don't necessarily think that would.
You're just saying engagement and knowing. Okay.
Keep us from engaging.
Okay.
Oh,
I will definitely put that on the list. Anything else for the good of the order?
Just a quick comment and plead. If anyone knows of anyone that's interested in incubation space, more than happy to entertain them. And because we are, in effect, open for business, despite the 24th being grand opening, we can start entertaining clients now.
And what are you envisioning now, next steps on the Knight building?
That's in my list of goals, which is to do an RFI to see if anyone has any great ideas in the community on what to do with it.
Yeah.
Hopefully it will include some sort of amenity. Food option, whatever. That's
cafe of some type or
something like that. And now that with the completion of the trail, I think it'll be more appealing to someone to look at and say, "Hey, I see. Look at all these people."
Yeah.
So you get more foot traffic through there, and I think that'll make it more appealing. I don't know. As we heard from Ed Murray during strategic planning, the expense of trying to put food option in there might be prohibitive. But at least I want to put it out there and see if there's a creative type out there who might want to take a risk and figure out how to partner with us on doing something.
Kimberly, I could have just 2 minutes. I was going to try to get with staff before I said anything about this, but I don't think it's that. There's nothing private about it.
Okay.
There was an article in the paper probably a week ago about the fact that the Florida Secretary of State has in its legislative budget request this year an amount of money, I don't remember, it may have been $10 million, to build a facility to house and do research on artifact preservation for artifacts that are owned by the state of Florida. I think they're now presently out at Mission San Luis being stored under circumstances that are not optimal. And I think the idea is to not just care for those objects, which is one of the jobs that the Secretary of State has always had, but to try to make it into something where perhaps you could have the public come in and view scientists working on the latest restoration, preservation methods. So, of course, the first thing I thought about was our tenant, the National Park Service, which is doing exactly that. And I know that the state SHPO people work with the feds all the time. They have to. And they both do these processes that we had to go through, where you survey historical resources, et cetera, et cetera. If there is any opportunity for us to sort of knit those two things together in a way that would result in potentially having that facility out here, if there was some determination that it fits within our rubric, if there is interest on the part of the National Park Service in making that happen, perhaps sharing facilities. The time is short, but the time is so short that
when I had a chance to talk to Senator Bonford at the Hemp Summit, his eyes just lit up. Now, it's partly because this is his last term and he's ready to go for anything. You know, he wants to make something happen. So I'm not saying this is something that we should undertake, but this wouldn't even be a budget ask on our part. This would be a talk to Laurel Lee, who's the Secretary of State, talk to Senator Bonford again and say, look, if this money is going to be in there, is there something that can be in the budget request that is something like a proviso that says, and here would be a great place to put this. Mm-hmm. I don't have any idea how that fits with anything else that we have in mind. So, I only wanted to bring it up because there are probably people sitting around the table who have better ideas than I do. If staff thinks that this is just a big old waste of time, then I'm not saying that we should do it. But if it's an opportunity and if it requires a couple of people to sit down and have a conversation, I don't see any problem with it.
Having served as a chair of Mission San Luis for several years, I know that when the state began to consolidate a lot of their space, they took some of that product or inventory and just crammed it into every nook and cranny and corner. It's not being properly humidified or controlled, or environmental issues are deteriorating some of their stuff, and it is a terrible mess over there. Not that Mission San Luis problem, but that the state just crammed it. Here's some space, we're just going to push it into your area and we'll figure it out later. So it's an opportunity waiting to happen. I commend you for thinking of it, and I think it'd be a great fit for our existing tenant over here to partner.
There's also some synergy with Anthropology.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely. To the extent that FSU now, and I don't mean this to sound snarky, has an Anthropology department now. Mm-hmm. Again.
Right. Well, I mean, it would make sense that one way to help keep them there would be to have, as a kind of local research center or whatever it would be, an opportunity to have that stuff. So,
Morgan Building would be good.
As the executive director's role, I'll just tell you the downside that I see. This building used to be occupied by two state agencies, and the leasing terms that you get from a state agency are rarely favorable, and they can move out on a moment's notice. And as we've seen around town, it happens. And when I first got to town and was working for the Department of Corrections, that's what we were doing. We were pulling everything, and part of this was Governor Scott, but we were pulling everything out of private lease space and moving in every possible government building we could find. So there's a downside to working with the state. I think it's an interesting opportunity in the particular synergies you get with those three organizations, and we could be building a cluster around that. But the caveat is,
I hear you.
It's dangerous.
And thank you for bringing that opportunity to our attention. Yeah.
Well, perhaps, Ron, you and I can chat a little bit more and just see if there's anything. And I'm happy to help.
But I do have 13,000 square feet to lease, so.
I know. And
next door.
The idea also of building space where these things can be stored correctly, I think, ties it a little more strongly to one location, makes it harder to pick up and go.
Absolutely. And I'll tell you, that's the other issue with the Morgan Building, is dealing with the particular environmental concerns that they have, and that building is not really made for that. I mean, Johnson Building, we've had a lot of issues we've had to deal with and fix over time, but that would be a serious consideration. Now, if they can help pay to fix the building to make it environmentally.
Well, we can do it.
Yeah.
It would be expensive.
Yeah.
But we could do it.
Yep.
You may recall on Tennessee Street, just beyond Mission San Luis, there used to be a facility in there that sold, people who do lawn care. They had weed eaters and lawnmowers and all kinds of stuff in there. That building became vacant, and at the time I chaired the mission and offered to buy that building for the state out of our money and lease it to the state for $0 interest for 3 years if they would then commit to say we'll eventually buy that and use it for that space. At the time, the Secretary of State said zero interest in that, so.
Yeah. Not easy.
Yeah. Okay, guys, then thank you again for your time. We'll move to adjournment.
Thank you.
Michael, can you give them the grant?
Not to you. There
good job, Madam Chair.
Excellent.